All right, let's call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record please reflect that it is 3:33 p.m. on Wednesday, February 10th. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum. Present today are Senators Bishop, Stevens, Von Imhoff, and Keel. Senator Kawasaki is online, and Senator Machicki will be attending later. Staffing the committee today is Ms. Betty Tangeman, our LIO moderator is Alex Banizak, and we have Christopher Dickrell online from records. Please silence your cell phones. Today, we want to start hearing just a presentation on this bill, and for the members, the bill will be coming to put in your packets here in the next couple minutes, but we'll start with this presentation, and we have a couple of folks from the Department of Natural Resources. Johnny Meza, commercial manager of the Division of Oil and Gas, will be presenting the measure, and we have Deputy Commissioner Sarah Longen on the line to assist with any questions, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, commercial analyst online. Please feel free to ask questions. We're not going to be as pressed for time as we have been the past couple meetings. So with that, Mr. Meza, please place yourself on the record and proceed with the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Johnny Meza, and I work for the commercial section of the Division of Oil and Gas at the Department of Natural Resources. My colleagues at the division and I appreciate the opportunity to present to you a bill proposal, SB 61, which would modify certain aspects of the existing statute for royalty modification. At this point, I would like to pause if there are any questions for me or my colleagues. Otherwise, if you would allow me to continue with the next slide.
No, please, sir, continue.
Thank you. Moving on to slide number 2, we have here an outline. And as we walk you through this slide, our goal is to provide you with a brief description of what net profit share leases are, or NPSLs, and where they are in the North Slope. Also, in section 2, we want to provide our rationale for proposing that the ability to modify net profit share leases and other changes present in the bill. In section 3, we will provide an overview of the modification process for royalty and how these proposed changes will be reflected in it. Lastly, we have a section of appendices containing more detailed information if necessary. Moving on to slide number 3, we will begin with an overview of net profit share leases. Again, moving on to slide number 4. What are net profit share leases? By statute, the DNR commissioner has the authority to issue oil and gas leases via competitive bidding. In doing so, the commissioner has a series of lease sale methods available, allowing the offer of different types of oil and gas leases. Most frequently, these leases that the state offers have only a royalty component as a source of revenue in its role as lessor. However, in some cases in the North Slope, DNR has also offered other leases which, in addition to royalty, have also a provision for net profit sharing. And we will define this term later on in the presentation. These are called net profit share leases. But before we delve into the definition of net profit sharing, let's first highlight a couple of differences between royalty revenue and net profit share revenue, which could help us illustrate this concept. Royalty revenue begins with commercial production and is based on gross revenue. Here I'm omitting a subtle distinction between what we call the royalty value and the proceeds that the lessee receives, but the main point of this is that for royalty valuation purposes, no exploration, development, operating, processing, or other production costs are considered in the calculation of royalty. On the other hand, for a net profit share lease, the sharing of net profit only occurs when the lease is said to have reached the payout stage. This is the stage at which the exploration and development costs allocated to this lease are recouped to revenues net of operating costs associated to this particular lease. Let me describe this in a little bit more detail. With the beginning of activities in the lease by the lessee that are associated with exploration and development activities, some of those costs will be allocated to this net profit share lease. Since there is no production yet, therefore there are no revenues, and this cumulative balance of costs that are associated to this net profit share lease will begin to accumulate, and we will keep a balance of such costs. It is not until production occurs and revenue also occurs as a consequence that some of this balance begins to be eroded until it is fully recovered by revenues net of operating costs. At that point, when the balance is fully eroded, we say that the net profit share lease has reached the payout stage. Any amount exceeding the recovery of these development costs is considered to be net profit of the lease, at which point the lessee will pay to the state a share of this so-called net profit pursuant to the share established in the lease. This share is called the net profit share. And I will pause here if there are any questions by the members of the committee.
Any questions? Please continue.
Thank you. Moving on to slide number 5, here we have a map of the North Slope depicting our existing oil and gas units and highlighting with their corresponding numbers the existing net profit share leases, which amount to 26. An oil and gas unit contains a set of oil and gas leases. In some cases, an oil and gas unit is composed of leases with only a royalty component, and other times we have net profit share leases, which, as we saw earlier, contain both royalty and a net profit sharing provision. These net profit share leases are in the following 7 units if we start from west to the east in the map. In the Culver River unit, Uber unit, Cooper River unit, Neely Point, Duck Island unit, and Point Thompson. These net profit share leases were issued in the late 70s and early 80s. In most cases, they were offered with a fixed royalty rate and a fixed net profit share rate. In other cases, the net profit share was the bid variable with values as high as 79% for a given net profit share lease in Duck Island, or even 93% for a net profit share lease in the North Star unit. The reason why we do not show net profit share leases for the North Star unit in this map is because 5 net profit share leases in this unit, which were transformed in 1996 into leases with only a royalty component through legislative action. We will talk in more detail about this case later in the presentation to exemplify one of the reasons for proposing Senate Bill 61. These net profit share leases have reached the net profit share leases which have reached the payout stage are in Culver River, Uber, Milley Point, and Duck Island. Net profit share revenue has been an important source of additional revenue to the state, and the largest contributors of such additional revenue are net profit share leases in the Duck Island and Milley Point units, accounting for approximately $1 billion. The total revenue coming from net profit share leases amounts to close to $1.2 billion. I will pause here if there are any questions from the committee.
I have a question. Of these 26 active net profit share leases on the North Slope, how many do you anticipate needing to change? What's the need to change now? I don't know if you're getting into that in a future slide.
Certainly, Senator Rivas, we have information. We have prepared information on that as to the need for proposing Senate Bill 61. As to the first part of your question, the department cannot guess which net profit share leases will submit applications because we cannot predict what the future will hold in that sense. We will go over in the next slide what we think this proposed change is warranted.
Okay, thank you. And did you mention that some of them were as high as 90%? Did I hear you right?
Yes, Senator Rivas. For the North Star unit, when a net profit share lease was offered by DNR, it contained the net profit share as the bidding variable. Through that lease sale offering, a successful bidder, submitted an offer for 93% as the net profit share. Through later on in 1996, through legislative action, those net profit share leases, including this one with the 93% share rate, were modified into leases which only contain a royalty component.
Okay, thank you.
So we can proceed to slide number 6 to go to our second section where we will discuss the justification for proposing this modification. Now we are on slide number 7. One of the reasons for why we believe Senate Bill 61 will provide benefits to the state is that we believe that it will increase production from otherwise uneconomic sources. The current statute for royalty modification, AS 3805180J, enables the DNR commissioner to modify the royalty rate under specific scenarios, which we will discuss later in the presentation, with the objective to encourage production which would otherwise remain uneconomic in the absence of such modification. We will talk as well about the process of that modification application. However, it could be possible that even with the royalty modification, such production could still remain uneconomic. For cases where such production is associated with a pool defined also by net profit share leases, Senate Bill 61 proposes that the DNR commissioner be authorized to modify the net profit share if such a change is in the best interest of the state. On the following slides, we will provide a hypothetical example that will help illustrate this particular scenario. Besides encouraging production, which would otherwise remain uneconomic, there could also be another effect: the extension of the economic life of such pool or field, as well as potential indirect impact on other fields. And we will see that in later slides as well.
If I could cut in there, we have a question from Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So you had mentioned on slide 7, under circumstances, even with royalty modification is possible for continuing. Has the DNR done royalty modification in the past, and how'd that go?
Senator Boningham, through the chair, the answer is yes. The royalty modification statute was enacted, I believe, in 1995, and then later amended in 2003, if I recall correctly, and the state has received 8 applications for royalty modification, of which only 3 have been granted, 3 have been, I'm sorry, 2 have been denied, and 3 have been withdrawn.
I'm just curious. Thank you.
Of those, could you please provide the committee, Mr. Meza, with some information in the future on how those that were granted, some information on how they've done since, what some of the details of those 3 are?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Good job.
And you said it ended, so did you say it ended in 2003?
No, Senator Rivera, I said that statute was amended in 2003.
Amended, okay. So since these 3, when's the last one that was done?
The last application we received was in 2014.
Okay.
For the Uber unit.
Can I just add?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So this is Senator Von Imhoff. Just a quick question. Of those 3, your last bullet point on slide 7, this would result, I'm assuming the royalty modification resulted in net profit share, taxes, et cetera, that the state would have not otherwise received. So can you just also, when you're providing the information to the committee, can you discern whether these 3 applications would have gone or not gone otherwise, and if, since they did go, I'm assuming they went, those 3 applications that were granted, how much money did the state make that they would not otherwise have made, making that assumption that they would not have otherwise gone without the royalty modification?
Senator Von Imhoff, through the chair, yes, the answer is we have that information. We will have that information available to the members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Meza. Senator Bishop.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Wasn't there some royalty rate modification discussed for the Nuna play as well after 2014?
Senator Bishop, through the chair, the answer is yes. That is the that is the case that I was referring to earlier. In 2014, the department received an application for royalty modification for the development of the Nuna prospect residing in the Uber unit.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for my lack of knowledge about oil, but what you're asking us to do is to receive less money for the state, but extending the life of the field. So that's a trade-off, less money to the state and a longer life of the field. What's the advantage to us there?
Senator Stevens, through the chair. Certainly, when the department receives an application for royalty modification, and under this current proposal to also be considered for net profit share modification, the department reviews such application, and that application does not have to automatically translate into an approval. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, the department has denied in 2 cases such applications. In other 3 cases, those applications have been withdrawn by the applicant. One of the reasons for those withdrawals and denials is that market conditions improved or the fiscal system was modified. Even if the department entertains the idea or receives the application for its review, the department performs a fully review process, which entails a review of technical and commercial information by the applicant. And we will go into more detail as to the specifics of this process for modification, where the applicant carries the burden of the proof. According to statute, the applicant needs to provide a convincingly and clear showing that the project under the application is not economic and therefore will not occur but for the modification. And the last point is, as we will discuss later in the presentation, modifications may translate into reductions for the purpose of the fruition of the project, but they may also contain a recovery provision under which the department could recover what was granted initially and even capture from outside.
Thank you, Mr. Mezen. I think I kind of know where Senator Stevens was going with this. And for the sake of the public, you mentioned to make an oil player production more economic. And maybe if you could put that in the simplest terms for folks at home, why would you modify this lease? Is it, I think if I'm understanding it right, it's that it's not economic given the amount of net profit that the state would take for the company to drill more oil. So is that right? Or could you explain as simple as possible under what circumstances or what we would be trying to achieve here?
Senator Rivas, certainly. And when we refer to the term of a project or production being economic or not economic, we mean that what we're trying to by the modification of either royalty or net profit share, we're trying to influence the investment decision of the lessee, and which in the absence of such modification, they would claim that the investment will not occur. When we mention that with the modification, the project will become economic, certainly we do not mean that we are guaranteeing a profitability for the project or the lessee. What we're trying to accomplish is to reach a certain point beyond which the investment decision will take place, and therefore production down the line will occur with the associated revenue.
Okay.
Later in the presentation, we'll refer to one measure of profitability that we use often, which is the net present value, which is just a comparison of the cost and revenues for this project, to put it in simple terms.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Meza. Please let the record reflect that Senator Machicki has joined us, and please continue.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll get it later.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Senator Keeld, please go.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess it's a resources committee with a lot of experts in the oil and gas field, and certainly our presenters are. And I sort of feel like we're on cyanotic compounds and seeds, and what we need is an apple is a fruit. It grows on a tree. Or at least that's what I need. So maybe we could, if you're willing, Mr. Chairman, divert just a moment into the difference between a net profit share lease and a royalty lease, and how net profit share differs from our production tax, which is also based on net profits. And I'll tell you where I'm going with the question, because I'll be right up front with you. It's difficult to get my head around the notion that once we are into net profits, we have something that's not economic. How's it not economic if you're making a profit? That I think is the starting question that leads me to ask for maybe a more basic explanation.
So I think the question there, and thanks for that, Senator Keel, is that maybe start out with the difference between the royalties and the net profits. Is that what you're? Did I hear you right there? Could you explain that in the simplest of terms? I don't know. Is it Mr. Meza? Would you be the best or to explain that?
Senator Keel, through the chair, that is a very good question. In that we use the term net profits in the context of net profit share leases, and the same term is being used in production in the production tax context. I also value the question referring to the term net profit and comparing that with the determination of a project being profitable. Our hope during the presentation is to explain the key differences between the use of the term net profit in the context of net profit share leases and how that differs from the term of profitability for the project from the standpoint of the company or lessee. One key aspect illustrating this distinction is that there are certain costs that are not considered for the determination of profit under a net profit share lease context that are otherwise considered for the determination of profitability for a project from the perspective of the company. An example of that is the gathering line cost. That is one example of costs that are not necessarily taken into account in the context of net profit for net profit share leases. Another one is that under net profit share leases, there is an allowance for overhead, whereas for the perspective of the company, that is definitely different. And another example of this difference is that the net profit share lease determination of net profit is that it contains a return on the costs that have not yet been recouped. Such return is based on the prime rate. On the other hand, for oil and gas companies, the return that they are required on their investment is much higher than the prime rate.
Thank you, Mr. Meza. Senator Keel, does that help you a little bit?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a start. And I think it sounds like Mr. Meza has some of the other answers built into his presentation as he goes. So I'll wait, and I may ask for more tutorials as we go.
Certainly. Any other questions? Please, Mr. Meza, continue.
Thank you. We now move to slide number 8, where we're going to talk about the second reason for proposing Senate Bill 61, which is to provide DNR with additional valuable flexibility in dealing with, in this case, the existing statute royalty modifications, but also what is being proposed for modifications of net profit share rates. So as I said, the current statute of royalty modification enables the DNR commissioner to modify the royalty rate under specific scenarios, which we will discuss later in the presentation, to encourage production which would otherwise remain uneconomic. And we will define via an example what we mean by that later on. By having Senate Bill 61, we believe it is important because it will also provide the ability for the DNR commissioner to modify not just royalty, but also net profit share. For example, in its review process of an application for modification, the state may find that it is in its best interest to modify net profit share instead of royalty. And we have prepared a graph to exemplify this particular case. In modifying net profit share only, helps to make currently uneconomic production come to fruition, then the state will not have to defer its royalty revenue because, as we saw earlier, they are paid concurrently with production. Alternatively, the state may find that a blended structure, a mix of both or either modification, could be in its best interest rather than just using one lever for this modification review. It is worth noting that depending on the significance that the net profit share leases have on a given project, the impact of modifying royalty or net profit share will differ. Lastly, the current statute for royalty modification allows the commissioner to, as we said earlier, increase or decrease the royalty rate, which could allow for the possibility of recovery of foregone revenue. This proposed bill includes the net profit share as another variable which could be subject for such increase or decrease. And with that, I'm going to pause if there are any questions.
Questions? Please, Mr. Meza, continue.
Thank you. Now we are on slide number 9, and as I referred to it earlier, we have prepared a graphical representation of what we mean for a project trying to develop production to be economic or not economic. I want to remark that this is a hypothetical economic model built for the purpose of illustrating these particular cases which we referred to earlier. So as we said in the previous slide, the proposal under consideration, SB 61, has the objective of encouraging production which otherwise be uneconomic, and secondly, provide additional valuable flexibility to the state in crafting such modification, provided, of course, that it has found that it is in its best interest. To help illustrate these claims, we would like to share these results from an economic model where we have the production from a hypothetical pool under two scenarios. One, where the production is defined by a set of leases with both types of leases, the ones that only contain royalty, and also net profit share leases, which, as we said earlier, contain both royalty and a net profit share component. The second graph illustrates an example where we only have net profit share leases for such pool or project. This graph shows one measure of profitability from the perspective of the company for this hypothetical project, in this case, the net present value. They represent the expectations of the lessee of a combination of variables, such as production, price, and cost. And this evaluation is carried out to determine whether the investment decision is warranted or not. In this way, if the right end of the curve falls in the negative region of the graph, then the project is deemed uneconomic by the lessee and the investment will not take place. On the other hand, if the company perceives or sees that the right end of the curve falls in the positive region, then the project is considered economic and the investment will be sanctioned. I would like us to focus first on the light blue line on the left graph, which represents the case without any modification in royalty or net profit share rate. For this specific case, the net present value does not become positive. Thus, the project is deemed not economic by the lessee and may not be sanctioned in the proposed timeline. Under the existing modification framework, the DNR commissioner can only modify the royalty rate to encourage production which otherwise would remain uneconomic. And now we're focusing on the dotted orange line, where we see that the project falls under the so-called economic region. And as we mentioned before, when evaluating requests for modification, the goal of DNR is not to guarantee that the project will be profitable under all circumstances, nor to provide profitability more than it is necessary. With the modification, the goal is to improve the chances of profitability for the project, but only to the point necessary to impact the investment decision by the lessee. In this way, still on the graph on the left, it could be possible under certain circumstances that this objective could be accomplished by reducing only the net profit share instead of the royalty rate. And now we're comparing the dashed blue line with the dotted orange line there. I'm going to pause here if there are any questions by the members of the committee.
Yes, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Meza, in this analysis then, what discount rate are you using? You mentioned the prime rate earlier. You mentioned that the companies use a significantly higher rate. The discount rate you use for a net present value analysis makes a huge difference. Which one is it? Would the department be using?
Senator Keel, through the chair, we do not have a set discount rate that we use. What we do is we look at the economic profitability of a project from the perspective of the company, because we want to evaluate whether the company will make the investment decision. Following that line of thought, we realize that there are different types of operators in the North Slope, some of them financially stronger than others, some of them having a portfolio of projects everywhere in the world, others with a different type of investment projects in their portfolio. At the same time, we use a prudent operator standpoint for determining whether a project is economic or not. So to answer your question, we do not use a particular number in our analysis. We look at different types of alternatives.
Yes, Senator Machicki.
So, Mr. Meze, someone requested perhaps a simpler explanation for the folks at home, and I just want to take a little stab at it, and you can tell me if I'm off base or not. But the way I understand it is, in addition to the royalty modification, the net profit share lease with a minimum of 10%, that combined relief could possibly stop unprofitable production from being abandoned. So anything back to the state above that unprofitable line is far more beneficial to the state of Alaska than abandoned production.
Senator Machicki, through the chair, yes, we encourage production that would otherwise remain uneconomic and not come to fruition through the modification, but for the modification. And as we mentioned earlier, the goal is not to guarantee a certain level of profit or to guarantee profit under all circumstances, but rather to influence the investment decision by the applicant.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meza. Did you?
Maybe a follow-up, Mr.
Chair. Senator Keel.
I appreciate the indulgence, Mr. Chair. I guess, Mr. Meza, is there a could you help me with how we set the prudent operator standard? If I am in the oil business, I am going to tell you that a prudent operator isn't going to make less than a very, very high number. And if you're in the state revenue department business, and I know you're DNR, you might be interested in a much lower number. And we're going to disagree. What are the standards that the state uses to determine that? Are they in regulation, or are we to trust one another?
Senator Keel, through the chair, what I meant by using the term prudent operator is, from an economic standpoint, DNR, in its review process, considers different alternatives, different scenarios, and the opportunity cost for the state if DNR were to hypothetically deny an application for modification and the project will not be sanctioned. What would the opportunity cost for the state be to have to wait for another operator, if that's the case in the future, to sanction the project, for market conditions to improve in the next year, for technology to improve, or for a different configuration of the project? So DNR is always comparing its opportunity cost. What would DNR gain, benefit from revenues that could occur with the modification versus the revenues that might or might not occur in the future by a delay of the project?
So essentially, Mr. Meza, what I hear you saying is that DNR currently does not have the ability to negotiate these net profit share leases, and it feels as though it would be of a greater benefit to the state if you did have the ability to negotiate these in certain circumstances. Is that correct?
Senator Kiel, through the chair, yes. As I mentioned earlier in the presentation, and something that we will look also later in the presentation, there has been a modification of net profit share leases in the past, in 1996, for the North Star unit. Such modification entailed the negotiation with DNR and the applicant at the time to submit a bill to the legislature and have hearings on such bills. Under this proposal for Senate Bill 61, is that DNR is proposing for the DNR commissioner to have the authority, along with the modification for royalty, to have the ability to modify net profit share rates in this case.
Thank you, Mr. Meza. How many of these net profit share leases are in production currently? Do you know? Of these,
yes, Senator Rivas, going back to slide number of to the map, slide number five, the units which have net profit share leases, which are currently in production, are Colder River, Ugruk, Nikaichak, Milne Point, Duck Island, and North Star. Obviously, they don't have net profit share leases anymore, but originally they did. And with the modification, the applicant sanctioned the project, and we have production from that unit.
Okay, thank you. How many are not in production?
Senator Rivek, the unit which has net profit share leases that is not in production for the purpose of production being allocated to net profit share leases is the Point Thompson unit.
Okay.
The unit, it is certainly producing, but the production is not associated with those net profit share leases.
Okay, thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you. You're talking about project sanctions. Are we talking about new projects going forward, or are you talking about wanting to have the ability to modify existing production, or both?
Senator Bishop, through the chair, that is an excellent question and something that we would like to describe in more detail in the next slides, but to provide you with a brief answer is that modifications of royalty under the existing statute and net profit shares under this proposal can only occur under specific scenarios described by the statute.
Okay. Yes, Senator Stevens.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if you remember Judge Gleason, who Sharon Gleason, she made a decision on the issue of how much money was to go to communities some time ago on taxes from the pipeline. And in that decision, she said that we can't think short term. She said oil will be flowing from Prudhoe Bay for the next 50, if not 100 years. So my concern is, are we just looking at the immediate day? How can we get more production through the pipeline right now? Is your agency really thinking about the long term? I think what Gleason, who was a state judge and is now a federal judge, was saying is that sometimes it's best to leave the oil in the ground because in the future it might be of more value to us. So I'm just concerned if you are truly looking in, are you dealing with a 50 to 100 year view of the oil industry for us, or are you just looking at the immediate production of oil?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, when I referred earlier to the review process by DNR, we certainly look at both the short term and the long term. In the decisions to grant the modification by applicants in those two cases that occurred, and in principle, for a hypothetical case, the department considers not only the effect of the modification on the production under the consideration of the application, but also indirect effects that this production that is being encouraged could have on existing and future production as well. As we, as the members of the committee may be aware, we have an infrastructure of pipelines that were built not necessarily exclusively for the development of one particular unit, but now benefit other types of development throughout the North Slope. So, and as I said earlier, we both look at the short-term impact and longer-term impact of such decisions at hand.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Meza. Senator Michiki.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Meza. I noticed in the 70s and 80s net profit leases range from 30 to 79%, and your request in this bill could drop that amount to 10%. I'm just wondering, is that because you're thinking of utilizing the practice as a combined relief? So with combined relief between that and royalty relief, that you may have the need to go lower for that to make economic sense? Or do you really envision a 10% minimum as being something realistic? And again, I'm comparing it's 30% of the lowest leases, previous leases, it, from your slide on slide five.
Senator Michiki, through the chair, that is an excellent question, as it allows me to provide more detail as to the minimum value that the bill is proposing. When referring to a minimum value, we are definitely not proposing that the net profit share should be reduced to that level, but rather that for if modification were to be considered in the benefits of the state, in the interest of the state, that there be a floor under which modifications cannot go beyond. So just because we have a minimum doesn't mean that the department will go to the minimum. And the same applies for the existing statute of royalty modification, which contains minimum levels of royalties. Certainly, the department in its review doesn't have the intent to necessarily go there, but its decision to modify the rates is based on as mentioned earlier, to incentivize the investment decision by the applicant or the lessee. If I'm allowed to go back to slide number 9 to the graph from the economic model, the members of the committee will see that graph contains a scenario of combined relief only for illustrative purposes. If we focus our attention to the graph on the right on slide number 9, this is a hypothetical case whereby DNR wants to illustrate that it could be possible that modification of royalty or modification of net profit shares separately may not be large enough to change the decision from no investment to investment. Under certain circumstances, it could be possible that DNR may find that a combined relief would be needed. But at the same time, we don't mean by this that we will go all the way up to provide the greatest profitability to the project, but only to the point where the action by the applicant will conduct to the investment decision.
Okay. Right. Just to follow that up a little later, yes. I have questions on modifications. If a well ends up looking borderline profitable and there's combined relief and then the profitability becomes remarkably successful later, but I can wait for that section.
Okay, yeah, thank you. And I think you'll get to some of that stuff, Mr. Meza. If you could continue, please.
Certainly. And now we move on to slide number 10 to describe the third section of our presentation, which addresses the process for modification that exists right now and how it will be, it is proposed to be modified with Senate Bill 61. As mentioned before, SB 61 would amend the existing royalty modification statute to provide authority to modify the net profit share with the goal of encouraging production, which would otherwise remain uneconomic. Also, we are proposing Senate Bill 61 to add a fourth scenario for the eligibility of, excuse me, that is my bad. I was jumping ahead to the previous slide. Pardon me. So we are on, we are on slide number 10, and we are providing the third reason to allow net profit share lease modification. The third reason is to streamline the process for net profit share modification. As I mentioned earlier, in 1996, DNR presented to the legislature a proposal for modifying four net profit share leases in the North Star unit. These leases, as I referred to them earlier, contain or were offered with the net profit share rate as the bid variable. In that lease sale, the highest bidder offered a net profit share rate in a net profit share lease in that unit as high as 93%. What we are proposing here is that DNR be authorized to modify this net profit share to streamline this process and to have this in conjunction with the existing statute that would allow the modification of the royalty rate. As with the royalty modification, the proposed net profit share modification decision will also be published through a best interest finding and offered to be reported to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. I will pause there if there are any questions.
Please continue. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Keel has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Meza, can maybe, again, on the basics, can you just lead us through what currently requires legislative approval and what simply requires reporting to the legislature under the status quo and how that would change?
Certainly. Senator Keel, through the chair. Under the existing statute, which allows only for royalty modification, the department, once it receives an application for modification of royalty, performs its review process, and if it finds that granting a modification of royalty is in the best interest of the state, it will publish a best interest finding allowing for public comment and also allowing for offering a presentation to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. The Senate Bill 61 proposal is trying to include the modifications for net profit share in this process while maintaining the same review process and the same offerings to the same publication of the best interest finding and offers to make presentations to the legislature.
Just a follow-up, can you help me with why the North Star unit modifications required legislative action?
Certainly, Senator Keel, through the chair, because at that time, and as it is right now, the statute doesn't allow the DNR commissioner to modify net profit share. At that time, in 1996, the applicant, or the lessee, I should say, reached out to the department, and they tentatively negotiated terms for this proposed modification of net profit share leases, which were not contemplated and are not contemplated in statute, and that's the reason why it was presented to the legislature, as it is a material change.
Thank you, Mr. Meza. And so that this bill seeks to solve that very problem, and we've asked for some of the details related to those net share profit leases that were conducted and how they're doing and how they've worked so far. Mr. Meza, in the interest of time, if you could please continue, we'll try and get through what you have here as much as we can.
Thank you, Senator Rivas. And now we are on slide number 12, and we will talk about the third section of our presentation, which will cover some of the information that our members of the committee were asking about the modification process as it exists right now and how it would be, how is it being proposed under Senate Bill 61. So under the current existing statute, the commissioner has the authority to modify royalty rates. SB 61 is proposing that the commissioner would also have the authority to modify net profit share rates, with the objective, as mentioned earlier, to encourage production which otherwise would remain uneconomic. We are also proposing to add a fourth scenario. Currently there exist three scenarios, and we will talk about it in the next slide, under which an applicant could be eligible for modification. And it deals with incremental production from producing pools, which need significant capital expenditure. Lastly, there's the SB 61 proposes to clarify a potential ambiguity in the criteria for one of the scenarios for eligibility for modification, in that test production would not necessarily disqualify an applicant. And as I said earlier, we will go into more detail over the next slide on this. But with that, I want to pause now if there are any questions.
Senator Bishop.
Just a quick one, just for curiosity. What's the test production cutoff?
Senator, through the chair, maybe it will be helpful if we jump to slide number 14.
Well, we'll just wait till we get there. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Meza. Please continue.
Yes. And we are at the close to the end of the presentation. We are now on slide number 13. And we're going to talk about, within the same context of the modification process, what is the type of modification that exists right now and that is being proposed. And as we discussed earlier, currently royalty modification, it contains a minimum, a floor, for those royalty rates of 5% and 3% under corresponding scenarios, which we will go over on slide number 14. This proposed bill would also establish a minimum net profit share rate of 10%. And as mentioned earlier, the intent is not necessarily to go there, but to have a minimum under which the department will not be allowed to offer that modification. Consistent with the existing statute, which allows for a sliding scale mechanism under which the royalty rate would vary, either would increase or decrease, according to price, production, or other measures, SB 61 is proposing that also the net profit share be subject to this sliding scale mechanism. More specifically, in certain circumstances, DNR could find that it would be in its best interest that for those modifications that were granted with a purpose to encourage production, there be a provision under which the state could recapture those foregone revenues in the beginning of the project, with the goal to capture or participate in upside, in this case, price movement or other type of variables. With that, I'm going to pause if there are any questions.
No, please continue.
Thank you. And now we are on slide number 14, which will provide more detail as to what are those scenarios under which a application for modification could be considered eligible. As mentioned earlier, SB 61 proposes that both royalty modification and net profit share modification be considered for the three existing scenarios in the statute, but also a fourth one. In the first scenario, the pool under consideration has not yet produced, and the modification would be needed for such future production to occur economically. Therefore, there is one condition in that the field or pool has not yet previously produced for sale under this scenario. And this is the potential ambiguity that we were referring earlier that SB 61 is trying to address and to clarify. Naturally, in the development stage of a given project, as the company or the operator starts its appraisal stage and drilling some wells, naturally some of that resource will flow to the ground and they will be tested for quality information and pressure information to provide two examples. What we want to clarify is that such test production would not necessarily disqualify a potential applicant that is seeking modification under this particular scenario. The clarification is that the condition referring to the pool not having produced before is that we refer to commercial production, meaning after the project has been sanctioned. And I will pause there just to make sure that the members of the committee, whether they have questions on this aspect.
Please continue.
Thank you. In the second scenario, we are in a situation where production exceeds already, but is expected to become uneconomic due to lower levels of production, high operating costs, or low prices, in such a way that abandonment seems very likely soon. In this case, modification of royalty, or now being proposed net profit share, may present such existing production, may prevent such existing production to become uneconomic. In the third scenario, production has already ceased and the wells are likely shutting. The idea is that the modification of royalty or net profit share could bring that production back online. In the proposed fourth scenario, production already exists, like in scenario number two. However, the key distinction is that the production under review is incremental to the existing one, in the sense that it will only come to fruition after significant capital investment. In this sense, such incremental investment would be uneconomic but for the modification of royalty or net profit share. And there, in the slide, I'm providing a few examples of what such incremental investment could be for expansion of pools, which may necessitate the building of new drilling pads or enhanced oil recovery projects. And this is also trying to address both the perspective of short-term impact and long-term impact as we try to bring additional production to fruition. I will pause for any questions.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Meza. So could you explain how this proposal of incremental production is different than the second scenario you mentioned? Could it not be the second scenario wouldn't suffice for what we need?
Senator Rivak, that is an excellent question because it allows me to highlight a key distinction between scenario B and scenario D. In scenario B, when we refer to rising per barrel costs, we refer to costs that are already being incurred by the lessee or operator. On the other hand, under scenario D, such costs have not yet occurred. They are under evaluation to bring this incremental production into existence. So that is a key distinction. If we were to put ourselves into the situation of a company under scenario D, to qualify for Scenario B, they will have to incur those costs first. But more likely, they will not do so if they deem the project, such an endeavor, to be uneconomic.
Thank you. Any other questions? Please continue.
Thank you. And now we are on the last slide, slide number 15, where we're going to describe the decision-making process of for this modification of royalty and now what is being proposed, net profit sharing. SB 61 does not propose to change the modification process in that the applicants for such modification still need to provide a clear and convincing showing that their application meets the statutory requirement. In fact, the bar is much higher in terms of the standard of proof required when compared to other types of application with DNR. Clear and convincing showing indicates a much higher degree of certainty behind the claim that production is or would be uneconomic but for the modification. In this way, the applicant needs to provide abundant technical and financial information on the project and also about the applicant. Such information naturally would be held confidential if requested by the applicant. Also, DNR retains the ability to require or request that the producers or applicants pay for each application for the ability of DNR to reach out to consulting work in to help in its evaluation of the application in such a way that it may complement specific areas of technical information that DNR may not have the expertise. We will also keep the same process of publishing a best interest finding and offer a presentation to the legislature. And even if the modification is granted, such modification will contain a series of conditions and provisions that are intended to prevent any deviation of the claims made by the applicant with respect to the timeline of the proposed project, the amount of expenditures associated to the investment, and a series of conditions related to the application. On top of that, we make sure that the application, and this is currently in statute, is not automatically transferable but for the authorization of the commission. And with that, I will pause if there are any questions.
Senator Machicki.
So thank you, Mr. Meza. I can see this. My question would be probably most likely in scenario A for new production. So the department negotiates a modification, either combined relief or one of the choices, and the particular well or project ends up being enormously more productive than first thought in the negotiation and original modification. Is there a clawback adjustment that the department can automatically initiate to a more traditional royalty production tax scenario if that were to occur?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, on slide 13, we made reference to a term that modification may be based on a sliding scale mechanism, or that modifications may provide for lower or higher than values than the original ones stipulated in the lease contract. And the reason why I bring this up to our attention to the members of the committee is that in its review process, the state may find that to aid or to motivate the sanctioning decision, the investment decision, it may need to modify, reduce some of either the royalty or the net profit share if there are net profit share leases. But it could also find that if an upside case were to occur, that there would be provision under which the state could recover what was initially provided as, if you will, relief for the investment decision. So to go back to you, to summarize my answer to your question is that, yes, the state can find that it is in its best interest to have a, if you will, clawback provision.
So, Mr. Chairman, yes, just to clarify, you don't mean within the ranges of NPSL or royalty relief. You are saying that you could actually convert to traditional royalty and production tax.
Senator Mishiki, through the chair, when we refer to modifications, we are making reference in the context of changes in the royalty rate or changes in the net profit share or combined if the department needs that or finds that it is in its best interest. But nothing about production tax.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair. Yes, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, just to make sure I'm tracking the responses to Senator Machicki, those are things that you could put into a modification that you negotiate should the bill pass. But should a lease prove to be better than was expected, should the state prove not to have had the best information when the negotiation happened in the first place, the state can't come in and initiate one of these to raise up the net profit share or raise up the royalty, right? We can't kick that process off.
Senator Keel, through the chair, if I understood your question correctly, the department would consider definitely such a scenario of recapture, if you will, of what was granted initially through a provision within the modification decision, if it was deemed if it was deemed that it needs to be granted. So it will be within the series of conditions that I was making reference earlier.
Mr. Chairman, just follow up.
Yes.
So I think the answer to the question I asked was no. But you would hope to always foresee all scenarios with a modification. And I appreciate that. Mr. Chairman, I know we're running low on time. I could use some more basic understanding before the bill comes back, and I will reach out to the department. It'll be very helpful to me to understand better what information the department has access to and how it performs some of its analysis, because that's just not something they were able to make time for in today's presentation. I know we've used the committee's time. It will be very helpful for me to understand what information is available to legislators and to the general public in this process in analyzing whether this is something that makes sense for the state to go forward with. So I'll need some additional help with that, and I'll get together with the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Yes, and just for members of the committee, we will hear this bill more in the future. I want to thank the folks that are on the line. We will get to you next time when we expect we'll bring this bill up at some time in the future for a sectional as well as more informational briefing. So we just wanted to kind of open this up and hear it. And we very much appreciate, Mr. Meza, your presentation today, and members of the committee, thank you. This committee will meet again on Monday the 15th, at which time we'll hear about SB 22, and we will adjourn now at 4:47 p.m.